Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four talented players who are going to perform in Just a Minute this week. We welcome back two players of the younger generation, one of our regulars, Paul Merton, and with him someone who's only played the game once before, that is Neil Mullarkey. We also welcome back two of the original players of the game, right from the very first time 29 years ago, that is Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones. Will you please welcome all four of them? And beside me sits Yolanta Zabuki, who's going to keep a score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the lovely Swan Theatre on the beautiful River Severn in the historic city of Worcester. As usual, I'm going to ask our four players to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Oh, the subject for you, very apt, sauce. Will you tell us something about sauce in this game, starting now?
Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. But what better sauce is there in the whole wide world than Leon Perrin's Worcestershire? Absolutely essential if you're going to make a really good Bloody Mary. To have that together with vodka, Tabasco, some horseradish, lemon juice, put it all together and mix it round. And you will have a drink fit for James Bond himself. Much better than those dry martinis. Other kinds of sauce that one can think of course, are the ones, people being rather saucy, rather naughty. I remember when I was here...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of rather.
Yeah, rather saucy, rather naughty. Yes. So, Paul, you got in. You have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. And there are 23 seconds left to tell us something about sauce, starting now.
I like all kinds of sauce, really. Tomato ketchup, I think, is extremely nice.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a little hesitation before the run out with the ketchup there. So, Peter, you've got in on sauce with 19 seconds available, starting now.
I've always believed that hunger is the best sauce. It's an old saying from the Middle East. And white sauce is the most popular, or was, until newer cuisine.
The new Mullarkey challenge.
But that was a mistake. I just want to say how mild it is to be working with you, Peter.
Right, Neil, an incorrect challenge, so Peter, you get a point for that. You keep the subject. You have 8 seconds on sauce starting now.
You make it.
Paul Merton challenge.
I would just like to second what Neil said.
What are they up to?
They're all remarking on the privilege it gives them to work with you, Peter. You know, you're one of the doyens of show business. One of the cult figures, you might almost say. So,
what was that again?
Cult!
Yes.
That was an incorrect challenge, you'll be surprised to hear, Paul. So, Peter, you have another point, and you have sauce still. 6 seconds starting now.
You heat a knob of butter the size of a pigeon's egg or a walnut, whichever you happen to have handy to measure it by. Add some flour.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Peter Jones. And you won't be surprised to hear that at the end of that round, Peter has got a commanding lead over all the others.
God.
Yes, yes. Don't let it go to your head, Peter. Keep it up.
Well.
Paul Merton, will you take the next round? The subject is painting the town red. Will you tell us something about that idea, that subject, in just a minute, starting now?
You would need an awful lot of paint, I suppose, because you have to consider first there is the undercoat, and then eventually you put the top thing on...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Well, he did hesitate
yes,
again.
51 seconds, Peter. Painting the town reds, starting now.
Apart from going mad and having a wonderful time with a lot of lager louts, I think it must really mean painting it red on the map so that you know where it is, this particular place. And if...
new Mullarkey challenge.
I believe there was hesitation there.
There was definite hesitation.
Yes. Much as it hurts me to buzz. It's yes, quite a doyen of the theatre. I would have said doyen.
Well, of course, you're better educated than I am, I assume. Painting the town red is with you, Neil, starting now.
Painting the town...
Oh, gosh, what was that, Peter?
Hesitation.
Yes, right, Peter. You have the subject back.
I was waiting for you to say how many seconds I had.
No, I did say, actually.
Okay, well,
have such respect for Peter Jones, I'm sure you don't mind the fact that you hesitated. Painting the Town Red is with you, Peter, and there are 37 seconds starting now.
Well, I suppose the part of the town that is normally red doesn't exist in this particular city.
There ain't no more challenge.
Well, he stopped.
He did, yes. He tried to think if it might be right or not.
Well, I was trying to make it pleasant.
Yes. 28 seconds, Derek. Tell us something about Painting the Town Red, starting now.
I first came to Worcester at the Theatre Royal in 1953. And gosh, did I paint the town red. It was my first big break to be in this magnificent city.
Neil Malarkey, chance.
I think you said first twice.
It was your first. First time you came, your first big break.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 19 seconds, Neil, on Painting the Town Red, starting now.
Painting the Town Red is exactly what I did with Nicholas Parsons so many years ago at St. Andrews. He let me wear his slacks to play on the old course. He was the rector of the university. My, what a...
Paul Merton Challenge.
That's not my definition of painting the town red. Wearing a pair of Nicholas Parsons' slacks.
All I can tell you is that you were not there. Right, 8 seconds. You got another point for that, Neil. Painting the Town Red. Continue, starting now.
He treated us to a meal of chicken in a basket and a half bottle of Liebfrau Milch, watered down with old man's spritzer. Yes, I like the sound.
Paul Merton Challenge.
What's old man's spritzer?
That's what I wanted.
What's that?
It's, whatever it is, it's very likely he's got it.
It's a very spirited way for an elderly man to behave. Right. Paul, you've got him with 1 second on Painting the Town Red, starting now.
I would start with a...
Paul was speaking as the whistle went. Gained an extra point. Peter Jones still in the lead. Equal in second place are Paul Merton and Neil Malarkey. Then Derek Nimmo and Neil Malarkey. Your turn to begin. The subject is marbles.
Marbles.
Marbles. Can you tell us something about marbles in this game? Starting now.
The other day, I picked up the Elgin marbles in the Portobello Market. The marbles currently residing in the British Museum are a fake. I bought these particular marbles for £5. Yummy, I said as I took delivery.
Derek Nimmo's chance.
Deviation. He couldn't have possibly lifted them up. They're too heavy.
Well, it was obviously a complete flight of fantasy. So you continue with 46 seconds. Marbles, starting now, Neil.
I had a forklift truck and took them to my house and displayed them on the mantel as they covered the beautiful, ornate woodwork. I decided that indeed I should be king of Greece. Such was my dignity.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
The audience say yes. All right. 31 seconds. Peter, on marbles, starting now.
Well, he put them on the mantelpiece, did he say? I can't understand that. Although I don't really believe he had a forklift truck either.
But Paul Merton Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid there was, Peter.
Yes, there was.
You hadn't even gone on to marbles either.
No.
23 seconds with you, Paul, on marbles, starting now.
I remember it as a game that we used to play when I was about 7 years old in school. I can't really exactly remember what were...
Neil Malarkey Challenge.
Remember.
Yes.
Yes, he was remembering too little. 16 seconds, starting now.
The police came round. Have you got the Elgin marbles? Yes, I have.
And Derek Nimmo Challenge.
Repetition of Elgin.
Elgin marbles, you mentioned it before, sorry.
Shucks.
Derek, 12 seconds on marbles, starting now.
I always think we were frightfully lucky that Lord Elgin brought them back to this country, because those silly old Greeks, they'd have all turned to dust by now, and we have them beautifully preserved in the British Museum, not only for the Greek tourists coming. I said Greek twice, but the thing.
Peter Jones, challenge.
Yeah, repetition of Greeks.
Yes, and well done, Peter. You got in cleverly with 1 second to go on marbles, starting now.
Oh, I think several lost it.
Well, at the moment, this is a runaway thing for Peter Jones. He's way out in the lead, and he's increased his lead at the end of that round. And he also begins the next round. The subject is composers. Peter, tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
Well, apart from the obvious ones like Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, my mind goes to those wonderful Americans of the first part of this century, like Jerome Kern and Irving Berlin, Vincent Humans, and dozens of others. And I think how impoverished they must have left the eastern part of Europe, Russia in particular. Why did they let all those wonderful people with their
Derek, no more challenge.
They were wonderful.
Yes, they were wonderful, yes, but you
were.
Did repeat it, I'm
I
afraid,
did,
Peter.
Yes.
Derek, you've got him with 35 seconds to go. Tell us something about composers, starting now.
I suppose being in Worcester, one thinks automatically of Elgar and that fine statue by Kenneth Potts outside the cathedral here. But it was actually created by the son-in-law of Mimi Hewitt, who lived in Britannia Square when I was here in the theatre. And she's in the audience tonight. I do think you ought to give her a very special round of applause because she's 78 years old. But Elgar, when he used to walk around the hills...
Neil Malarkey challenge.
I think you said Elgar.
He did. You did repeat Elgar. Yes.
We're not going to have applause for everybody who's 78 on this panel, are we?
We've been here all night.
No. Composers is with you, Neil. 12 seconds are available starting now.
My favourite composers are Noel Gallagher of Oasis, R.E.M., Mick Jones and Joe Strummer of The Clash. Oh, no, nothing of these European fellows with their strange-sounding surnames. I like the composers of today.
Neil Malarkey was speaking then as Whistlewind gained that extra point for doing so, and he has moved forward. He's now in second place, only just behind our leader, who is still Peter Jones. Derek, will you take the next round? The subject is Brussels. Will you tell us something about Brussels in just a minute, starting now?
I think to have been at the Duchess of Richmond's ball on the eve of Waterloo in Brussels must have been an extraordinary occasion.
Paul Merton Chalmers.
It was boring. But the band didn't turn up and we ate peanuts till midnight.
Give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge, but as Derek was interrupted, he keeps the subject. 53 seconds for you, Derek. Brussels, starting now.
Why are we governed by Brussels? If it was put to a referendum, would we not opt to join something else than the common market? I cannot imagine how they even tell us not to send smoked salmon by post. London buses, last week, they want to put on doors at the back so you can't stand on the footplate anymore.
Neil Malarkey and Paul Merton, both lights came on together. So I'm going to have to ask you, who wants to be generous and give way? Right, Neil, Paul's given way to you.
Paul's
as you
given
haven't
way
played the game
to me,
before.
And
right.
I'll give him some money later. But I think Derek might have hesitated.
I think he did, actually, yes. And there are 33
seconds.
He's
light, isn't he, Rich? A young fellow.
I want to be invited back again. And I'd love to come back to Worcester again. Just trying the Derek Nimmo tack.
Yes.
I know some people who are very old, and Worcester's great.
It's working well, but I think you're overplaying your hand at the moment.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
33 seconds, Neil, on Brussels, starting now.
Brussels, the place where Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto by a fire in a café at La Grande Place. Charlotte Bronte renamed it Villette, a place where the Palais de Justice...
Paul Merton challenge.
Competition of place.
There were too many places, I'm afraid.
Well, there were chips.
Yes. 22 seconds, Paul, with you. Brussels, starting now.
I've never really liked sprouts. I think it's down to the fact that I don't cook them very well. I was living in a bedsit in the early 1980s, and these particular vegetables were quite cheap, and I don't think you're actually meant to boil them for 24 hours before you consume them. So I would like to now give you my recipe for the perfect Brussels... I suddenly thought I couldn't say Brussels again.
I know. It's a tough game. And, Derek, you've got him with 2 seconds to go on Brussels, starting now.
The Duke of Wellington left early
and,
in the
evening. Neil Malarkey challenge.
Sorry, but didn't you say Duke earlier?
No.
Duke of Richmond.
No. Duchess of Richmond's ball, I said.
Yeah,
I'm just giving the cast list now.
Okay. I apologise.
You don't
can
apologize,
I come back again? I love Worcester.
Never apologise in just a minute, because what happens is he gets another point because he was interrupted, and he has 1 second on Brussels, starting now.
Lord Uxbridge.
So Derek Nimmo gained a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as a whistle. Wendhan has moved forward, and they're all almost equal, but just one point ahead is Peter Jones still. Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, the supernatural. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I would like to take this minute to think about something in my mind, a household object, and if you, the audience, can pick up what that particular thing is, that would be indeed some kind of psychic phenomena. So here we go. You've just ruined an experiment.
Repetition.
Repetition.
Yes, yeah. He was thinking the same thought twice.
It was one continuous thought.
Neil, you have a correct challenge. You have the supernatural. 42 seconds, starting now.
The supernatural can be blamed for many things. The rise of the Shane Ritchie experience is another. The demise of the Nolans. The success...
Paul Merton,
a lot of these in there. The Nolans, the demise, the Shane Ritchie experience, the paranormal, we
let it go once, maybe twice, but if it's consistent, then we say repetition. 33 seconds. Back with you, Paul, on the supernatural, starting now.
Allow me to pick up from where we left off. Did anyone see a house then? A house with a chimney?
It's a new way of playing, just a minute. But, Derek, you challenged that time first.
I wasn't allowing him.
You what?
I wasn't what he said. Allow me to pick up where I left off. So I buzzed.
And you weren't allowing him.
I'm stopped anyway. It doesn't really matter, Nicholas.
It's, no. 28 seconds, the supernatural with you, Derek, starting now.
Nicholas is living proof that there is life after death. When you see him sitting on this...
Paul Merton challenged.
You call that life?
Oh, really? And this audience applauds.
It's only a 12-volt battery that keeps him going.
You weren't like this when I did my one-man show up, yeah?
Well, didn't nobody laugh then?
Really? Maybe this is the reason I have the job. I'm the only person in show business who will take these particular insults and come back again. Right.
For the money you get, yes.
Any more cues you want for gags, Paul? Right. 21 seconds, Paul. Show you how generous and genuine I am for you to take over the subject of the supernatural starting now.
In 1972, Uri Geller appeared for the first time on British television with his spoon-bending trick. I describe it as such because I don't think there's anything paranormal going on there at all. Conjurers can imitate most of the stunts that the aforementioned Israeli...
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
I think it was, Peter, yes. You have 5 seconds. You've got in with only 5 seconds to go, and the supernatural is the subject, and you start now.
In my lifelong quest for knowledge, I attended a seance at the Wigmore Hall. And...
You were speaking as the whistle went, Peter, gained an extra point for doing so, and you are now 2 points ahead of all the others who are equal in second place. Neil Malarkey, will you take the next round? What makes me blush? Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
What makes me blush is the fact that I am frequently mistaken for Will Carling, the former captain of the English rugby team. It is embarrassing trying...
Peter, you challenge, yes.
He's not captain, he's ex-captain.
He was captain, he's now the ex-captain, I'm afraid.
I think I said former.
Did say former. Captain.
Former means he was.
I never heard you say former.
Well, you are deaf, we've already established that. So.
You said the former captain? Oh, well, then let's take all that back and start again.
Well, Paul heard it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say former. Yeah.
You continue with 46 seconds on what makes me blush, starting now.
What makes me blush most is people coming up and asking for my autograph. Your autograph, please, Mr. Bradford.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of autograph.
I know, once he thought of his autograph, he couldn't stop repeating it. Right, 41 seconds, Paul, what makes me blush, starting now.
I have this terrible habit of imagining newsreaders in the nude. I first started... started performing this particular...
Peter Jones at Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree with that one, Peter.
I'd like to hear more.
Yes.
But the trouble is, I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute, and there was a hesitation, and Peter's got in with 33 seconds on What Makes Me Blush, starting now.
Well, certainly sitting in front of a roaring fire tends to make my face red, but nothing I ever hear on Just a Minute would make me blush. I'm trying to think of something on television that I may have seen. One or two programmes, very late at night, if one can stay awake long enough, they do tend to bring blood to the cheeks. But otherwise, I don't think there is anything after a certain number of years when you've lived, you've seen a lot of excitement and non-events.
Paul Merton Challenge.
This is deviation, and if the subject is What Makes Me Blush, and then Peter says there's nothing that makes him blush.
Yes.
So it must be a deviation.
Well, that is a difficult decision, isn't it? What makes me blush? And he says there's nothing that makes me blush. I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and say you have 5 seconds on What Makes Me Blush, starting now.
Trevor MacDonald in a two-piece swimsuit. If such a thing can be conjured to the mind, then you'll have some idea.
So, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, another point in the round. He's 1 point behind our leader, Peter Jones, and in third place, equal are Derek Nimmo and Neil Malarkey. And Peter, it's your turn to begin again. The subject, a big hit. Will you tell us something about that? You can talk about one of your personal ones, if you like. 60 seconds, starting now.
No, I won't talk about my personal ones, because I've got to keep going for a whole minute. And if you hit the cricket ball in the Worcestershire county ground and it landed near the cathedral, that would be a big hit. And would probably get you into the papers. I don't know how far it is, but a big hit in the theatre, of course, is a difficult matter to discuss because you can run for a year and still the management lose money. Of course, it's all terribly dishonest and crooked, and you don't get any prizes for guessing who the villains are. They're certainly not the actors. Now, if I can...
Neil Malarkey Challenge.
I think he hesitated.
I think he did as well, Neil. So you have the subject. 22 seconds are available. A big hit starting now.
Imagine the scene. 1972, Shea Stadium. There am I, a little boy, watching a baseball game. A big hit is required. It is achieved.
Peter Jones challenged.
No, it wasn't 1972. He got the idea from Paul Merton, who said that Geller appeared first on television in 1972. It wasn't a very eventful year altogether.
Challenge, Peter.
He seems to know more about my life than I do.
Yeah. Have you had one of these supernatural experiences that Paul's been talking about?
Not lately, no. I haven't. No, I do know Trevor MacDonald rather well.
But that was... that was one of his supernatural blushy experiences. Neil, I'm with you. 13 seconds available. A big hit starting now.
Jim Beecham hit a home run, although his name should have been pronounced Beauchamp. The Americans insisted on this rather.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Traditional American.
Yes, you mentioned America before.
Yeah.
And, Derek, you've got him with 6 seconds on a big hit starting
when
now.
When Nicholas Parsons played the Swan Theatre in Worcester, he was the most enormous hit. People cheered him all the way from the stage door into a great limousine, and he went driving back to the metropolis, throbbing with excitement, applause sounding in his ears, because there's never been a bigger hit than Worcester than...
Derek, actually, you were challenged, but I let you go on, because I thought the audience were enjoying it. But Peter did actually challenge you. Peter, what was your challenge?
So long ago.
But I know it was correct.
I think it was for his own good. I thought he'd burst a blood vessel or something, you know.
So you have 2 seconds on a big hit, Peter, starting now.
Well, I think Nicholas...
is... So Peter Jones managed to speak just before, and just as the whistle went, and gained an extra point. He is just a little bit further ahead now of Paul Merton and Neil Malarkey in second place, and only 1 point behind them is Derek Nimmo. Paul, and it's your turn to begin. A good sport. Will you tell us something about a good sport or a good sport or someone who knew who might be a good sport? 60 seconds, starting now.
Bowls is a good sport because unlike Grand Prix racing, you're unlikely to crash at 125 miles an hour. It seems to me that the luxurious grass that you can often play this game on is perfectly suited to that fine, delicate balance where you have to judge whether your particular bowl is closer to somebody else's or whether they're going to nip in behind you. I've never played it, but I'm thoroughly looking forward to the day when I first take up this remarkably good game.
Neil Malarkey challenge.
I think it's a game twice.
You said game right at the beginning, I'm afraid, Paul.
Did I say sport at the beginning?
No, I think you did mention game twice. I think you did.
I'm quite prepared to mention it twice if it helps the edit.
I think it's a sport at the beginning, then you said game later, and then...
I probably did.
Yes, you
well,
did.
Well, I'm prepared to have bareback wrestling if you want to.
Well, let's get this out of the way first.
Right. So, I'll put it to the audience, if you like.
What?
Me and Neil...
not back
they,
to that
they
subject
can't
again.
All come. I mean,
Neil, 30 seconds on a good sport, starting now.
A good sport is a phrase for somebody who's prepared to take a joke. Now, frankly, I find this is sometimes an excuse to allow people who do not have any time for debauchery and immoral behaviour to be shunned from polite society. I find it reprehensible...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of I find.
I find, you did say that, yes. A good sport is back with you. 13 seconds, Paul, starting now.
I used to like playing badminton, knocking the old shuttlecock across the net, because the great thing about that particular sport is you don't have to be that good at it, unlike tennis.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of that.
Yes. Yes, that's right. You did say that a lot. That sport, that game, that thing. So, Peter, you've got him with 3 seconds to go. A good sport starting now.
I know one, but I'm not going to tell you who she is.
You were speaking as the whistle went, Peter, gained an extra point for doing so, and it now remains for me to give the final score. Well, Derek Nimmo, who has won many times in the 29 years we've been playing this game, didn't do so well this week. But again, as I've said before, it is the contribution and not the points. Would you not agree?
Yes.
So, Derek gave his usual fine contribution. Neil Malarkey, who's only played it once before, then came in with his outstanding contribution. Paul Merton, who's played it quite a bit before, came out with his eccentric and delightful and original contribution. And Peter Jones, who has played it before, but doesn't often come out with the most points, but he's achieved it this week, 1 point ahead of all the others, Peter Jones. Only remains for me to thank all four of them for the wonderful contribution they give, and must also thank Yolanda Zabuki for keeping the score so well and blowing her whistle, also Ian Messiter, who created the game, and Jobson, who produces and directs the show, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we take to the air and play Just a Minute. Thank you.